Welcome to the Worst of the Best podcast. You wanted the best. Well, they didn't freaking make it! So here's what you get. From Canada, Ryan and
Jason.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Worst of the Best podcast. I'm your host, and with me, of course, is my brother, Jason. Jason, how are you doing today?
Doing good, brother. Happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, it's good to be together, and I'd like to say that our REM two-parter turned out pretty good, so we'd like to thank everyone who joined that, whether it was on YouTube or on our audio only, like iTunes or Spotify. We'd like to thank everyone who listened. Didn't get any emails, Jay. We're going to keep asking. Like, it's old school to say, people don't really send emails anymore. I don't even know how many emails Joe Rogan gets, really. But if you want to send us an email, let us know maybe of a topic or an idea that you'd like Jason and I to go over. That'd be great. If not, at the very least, give us a review or a rating on your podcast app of choice. Like, I know for Apple, you don't even have to write anything. You can actually just give a rating without writing anything. So if you just want to give us 5 stars, that's fine. Don't have to say anything. We appreciate that.
Okay, so we aren't Joe Rogan. Therefore, the one or two emails that we do get, we can promise that we will read them.
Yeah, that's right.
Do we promise that we can respond to all of them? But we will read them. Yeah, one or two lined email will definitely be read by us. We will not be swamped and overwhelmed. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have so many, Jay. I was just trying to be nice. We have so many that I can't read them all, but yeah. No, we always appreciate those who do listen. And we have our faithful listeners who listen to every episode. So thank you to those people. We do truly appreciate your listenership and watchership. This is an easy, light episode after our hard work on the REM episodes. This one's a little bit easier, so to speak, or a little bit lighter, as they say, for Jason and I to talk about. This is bizarre legal name changes. Just like the title said, somebody was born with one name, and they decided to change their name to something else for whatever reason. So Jason and I think there's two criteria for this. I think there might be, what is the worst name, i.e., like if you had to choose between 10 of these names and you had to have 9 of them at some point in your life, or, you know, randomly one of these 9 could be your name. Which one do you just do not want in that list? So yeah, what is the worst name change? And then I think another one could be, what's the worst reason? People had different reasons. Some are kind of legit. There's one that actually was kind of like clever, and I kind of liked why they did it. We'll get to that later, of course. But maybe we could also talk about, what was the worst reason? Like, really, you did this for that? So even if their name isn't the worst name, their reasoning might be a little bit crazy. Okay, so Jason, the legal framework allows individuals to undergo name changes, possibly in pursuit of personal fulfillment or improvement in their lives. While the underlying reasons for this privilege may remain a mystery, it's evident that certain individuals have pushed the boundaries by opting for exceptionally unconventional legal name transformations. So here, Jason and I will explore 10 instances where people embraced this liberty with unconventional choices. So, of course, name changes happen all the time. Celebrities, right? Artists, they'll change their name from whatever their birth name was to Prince or whatever it might be. A lot of actors will change their names. You know, for example, do you remember Super Dave Osborne? Remember Super Dave?
Yes. Yeah.
You know what his birth name was? I kid you not. I think this is right. So I think it was Einstein's their last name. So they changed their name. One of the two brothers, I can't remember if it was Al Brooks or if it was Super Dave, but their name was Albert Einstein. So for obvious reasons, there you go, folks. That's a good reason to change your name. It's like, okay. All right.
Well, what I also find interesting is so many celebrities do change their name. I don't understand why so many aren't legit. Just, you know, I was born X, Y, and Z. That's who I am. And they change it. And I would like to, you know, that'd be something to investigate as to, okay, you were, you know, like Tom Cruise, that's not his real name.
Yeah. I think it's like Matheson or something weird.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, so you went from like somebody at a boardroom or a meeting, or you were thinking, I need to be Tom Cruise.
Yeah, so Tom Cruise's birth name was Thomas Cruise. So that's his first and middle name.
Oh,
so
that's not too bad. That is his middle name. Is it spelled the same?
Yeah, Thomas Cruise
Interesting.
Mapother, 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 and Mapother the Fourth.
That's a hard last name to pronounce.
Yeah, I don't know how it's pronounced, to be honest with you. It's spelled M-A-P, then it's like Map Other. Yeah, put the word Map and Other together. That's his name.
Mapother.
Mapother. Yeah.
Mapother.
No, that's not a great name for an actor. I admit, you're kind of like, however, talking about actors and their names, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was told by, of course, producers and, you know, agents at the time to change his name to be more American and to be more into Arnold's credit. He's like, no, this is my name. I'm going to keep it. So, and it became a marquee name. That's the beauty of it. It became a marquee name.
Yeah, it worked out for him. I mean, could you imagine pretending you're not Austrian?
Okay, so these people, I think, is the opposite of Schwarzenegger, even Tom Cruise. They've changed their names. I think their names that they had before were probably better than the names they've legally. Again, these were legally done. That means this is their name. They have to go to the driver's license, wherever it is. This is the name to put down on their legal documents. So at number 10, Jay, we have this story. One night at the pub, a man named Simon Smith. All right. It's not a bad first name or first and last name. Fueled by his love for food, decided to take a bold step. He officially changed his name to Bacon Double Cheeseburger. What adds a humorous twist to this story is that Sam was out with friends when he submitted the name change application, and then following the standard procedure, Smith had to sign a document confirming that this was indeed his decision before officially adopting his new identity. Coincidentally, the confirmation paperwork arrived during another night out with the friends. And to his delight, his friends wholeheartedly supported his unconventional name choice. Yeah, great friends, right? You got it, buddy. While his co-workers also embraced the change, his fiance wasn't as amused by his new identity. No, can you imagine your last name? Yeah, we now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Cheeseburger.
I mean, it's one thing to be amongst friends and you're just kind of jokingly even suggesting that you will. But as a fiance, like, you gotta go like, okay, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Introducing him to friends as Bacon Double Cheeseburger.
We've heard of enjoying a good burger or two, but this is ridiculous. A UK man is so enamored with the lure of a Bacon Double Cheeseburger, he decided to legally make it his name.
His surname is Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Mr. Cheeseburger to you and I.
Goodness me. There's probably someone whose name really is Cheeseburger. I mean, originally was Cheeseburger.
Yeah. We should have just found them and married them instead.
Now, the hero, formerly known as Simon Smith, admits alcohol did play a factor. A shocking revelation, really. Cheeseburger told the London Evening Standard he changed his name in part because everyone loves bacon, don't they? Except for maybe his fiance. But the question still remains, does that beat Mark I Love Spam Benson from England? Who knows? Best of wishes, Mr. Cheeseburger, and cheers to many other great decisions.
I love that. Cheers to other great decisions. So there's another guy in that article who named himself I Love Spam. He doesn't make our list, though. In our research, Jason, I missed that one. I Love Spam. That could have made our list. But that one's actually kind of funny. All right. Speaking of funny last names or names that you're born with, I've worked with people in the military. I've been around a lot of different last names in the military. Some of my favorites are Hiscock and Hercock. Both of them were officers on my ship at one point, both Lieutenant Hiscock and Hercock. It's just like, I can't believe these two people served together on the ship. And I think one was male and one was female. I can't remember which one was which.
Oh, boy.
Now,
I didn't even think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. One was female, one was male. And I asked Becky, of course, I said, if my last name was either of those last names, she said, oh, well, no, I'd keep my maiden name. I'm sorry. And I'm surprised anyone wouldn't do that. Would you blame them for not wanting to continue that name?
No, of course not.
Another last name in the Navy that I loved. When you put together the K and the N together, what's the sound? Right? Like, I know something, or knife. Yeah, there's a guy, another high-ranking officer. His last name was, now he would tell you his last name. I don't know how this makes it better. His last name was Knipple. He had K nipple.
No.
Yeah, so he would be serious. Goes, it's pronounced Knipple. Like, okay. So I got a question for you, Jay. Of the last names, Hiscock, Hercock, or Knipple, which one do you want to be labeled with?
Knipple.
Oh, man. Anyway, anyways, that's a little funny, a little fun anecdote regarding real last names that I have come across. And I'm sure there's another last name we've had. Seaman was last name in the Navy that I saw. Yep.
You're a master seaman. How long were you about? I mean, no, you can't say you're a master seaman without.
Well, that's why they've changed the titles in our Navy.
Oh.
Now. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's now no longer. It used to be, ordinary seaman, able seaman, leading seaman, and master seaman. But the reason why they say they've changed it, this is the official reason, they say they changed it to make it gender neutral.
Right.
So that's fair. I get it. But I think they also changed it because it doesn't sound as silly. So now it's first class, second class, third class sailor. So third class sailor, first class sailor, and then master sailor. And it does sound better.
It does sound better.
The military doesn't always make great decisions. We're all human. However, the name change for those ranks, it does sound better, and you can't make fun of it anymore. Now it's just Master Sailor. So
the iconic name James Bond has become synonymous worldwide, courtesy of the prolific writer Ian Fleming, who featured the character in 12 novels and 2 short story collections. Following Fleming's passing, authorized authors continued the Bond legacy. This suave character was not only graced literature, but has been successfully adapted for television, radio, film, and video games. While the on-screen exploit of James Bond never ceases to amaze us, there's a real-world tale that's equally intriguing. Meet David Fern.
So that's not a bad name, David Fern.
Yeah, David Fern, an ardent James Bond fan who took his admiration to a whole new level. He legally changed both his first and last names to encompass all 21 titles of the James Bond movies ever produced. In a quirky twist, David now goes by the name James Dr. No from Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball. You only live twice on Her Majesty's Secret Service. Diamonds are forever. Live and Let Die, The Man with the Golden Gun, The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, For Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, A View to Kill, The Living Daylights, License to Kill, GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day, Casino Royale, Bond.
Bond. That's his name. Now, granted, there's been like 4 Daniel Craig movies released since then. So does he have to change his name each time now, or a new movie gets released?
Yeah, a little bit short-sighted in his...
It is short-sighted. So when he did that, he must have known there's going to be other James Bond films. So what do you think of that name, Jay?
I don't think it's going to fit on your driver's license or passport. Could you imagine your credit card?
How does that work? I don't know. David Fern is now that. Maybe you can get away with, I think what he's done, there's a lot of documents, not old, but a lot, you can just do first and last name. So he just goes by James Bond. I think the middle name or the movie titles. So I think that's how he might get away with it, is the middle name or all the movie titles, but the first and last name is James Bond. Because that's why he starts with James and ends with Bond.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Hey, look, I like the franchise too, but that's a little much in my opinion. We'll see if that one is the worst pick by the end of this list. Okay, number 8. In the 1900s, Jason, the prospect of tooth extraction was far from pleasant. Look, it's not that great today, but can you imagine dentistry back then?
There's nothing worse than tooth surgery or tooth procedures, tooth pain.
Even with today's.
Yeah.
And I always need more Novocaine than they give me. I'm one of those where I'm like, no, I can still feel it. Stop. And they don't believe me. I was like, you think I come to the dentist just so I can get like high on Novocaine? I'm telling you, I can still feel the grinding and it hurts. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. Give me whatever you need to give me so I don't feel anything. Knock me out, for Pete's sake. I wish they could knock me out just to have my teeth cleaned. I hate being in the dentist chair. Okay. So the pain endured during and after the procedure was excruciating, of course, back then, persisting for days without effective pain relief due to limited technology. So in an era where alleviating this suffering was challenging, doctors sought inventive ways to divert their patients' attention from the pain. So enter Edgar Randolph Parker, a struggling student who graduated only after pleading with the dean following numerous failed attempts. Okay, can you imagine this guy's your dentist? Like, he begs the dean to pass him. All right. Different times back then, I guess. He, of course, faced difficulties in building his dental practice because I guess he just wasn't a very good dentist. So what did he do, Jay, in a bold move? Mr. Parker decided to inject his patients with diluted cocaine before extracting their teeth, aiming to bring innovation to his profession. So to gain the trust of his patients, he went even so far as to legally change his middle name to Painless. Unfortunately, this unconventional approach led to the revocation of his dental license in multiple states. This guy. So essentially, this guy was such a horrible dentist that he begged to pass the course. I guess the dean's like, fine, you're a dentist. Good luck. He had a horrible time building a practice because I guess every time he worked on people's teeth, it hurt them. And then he gave them a bunch of cocaine to make them feel better, which might have been even illegal back then because he did have his license taken away. But he changed his middle name to Painless to somehow make it funny, I guess, that, hey, come to me, I'm Dr. Painless.
So what I find interesting about this whole story is, what year was this?
Early 1900s. I don't know the exact.
So I wonder what the other procedures were to numb people's pain, where cocaine
might have been legal. I know it was put in Coca-Cola. We talked about that before.
But yeah. I think it was a normal, almost over-the-counter drug. Like, I'm not sure.
I wish it still was. Like get through the day a lot easier.
I don't know if it's like the same type of illegal drug as, you know, a controlled substance as it is today.
It was probably a pure form back then. Who knows? Just made them feel silly. I don't know. There you go. Dr. Painless the dentist. Hey, I'd go to that guy. Looking up your dentist. Hey, look, honey, yeah. Dr. Painless. He's got openings.
Give me coke.
He gives you a side of coke, too, if you're a good patient.
Gives you a bump of cocaine.
Man, it would be so much fun to go back in the day with the knowledge you have now, just for hang out for a day. Like, just go to the dentist and say, can you just give me some of that cocaine? My teeth hurt. See what they say.
Wouldn't it be interesting to have cocaine? I mean, sorry, a Coca-Cola with cocaine.
It would have been interesting. Yeah, I definitely would have gone back in time just to try. Like, sure. They're selling Coca-Cola with cocaine. Let's see what this thing does to you when you drink it.
I wonder how much was there enough that you really felt.
You probably got a buzz. You probably felt drunkish, disoriented. You know, there's probably a bit of a buzz for sure.
And the other question I have regarding this guy, was he putting the cocaine in where he's doing the surgery, or was he just like giving him a shot of cocaine like in the arm or vein?
It sounds like he did inject his patients with diluted cocaine. So it sounds like it was liquid form before extracting their teeth. So he probably put that in their mouth.
Gave him like an 8-ball?
Yeah, in their mouths. You shoot them out with cocaine.
That's hilarious.
He was trying to innovate his profession. So I think that was his, like, come to me, you get cocaine. I think that was part of his deal.
Well, I mean, they give us drugs now for it, so he's not that far off.
He wasn't. I guess it was just cocaine probably wasn't the right drug. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
All right. So instances of disgruntled customers expressing their frustration towards banks are not uncommon. But occasionally, someone takes a rather innovative approach to dealing with their grievances. Take the case of Michael Howard, a Yorkshire Bank customer who found himself charged £20 for a mere £10 overdraft.
Yeah. I never understood that. Why do banks do that? They charge you more than what you, like, what are you charging? I don't have the money. The reason why I have an overdraft, so now we're going to charge you more than,
The tipping point came after a heated disagreement with the bank manager. In a bold move to make a statement, Howard decided to legally change his name to Yorkshire Bank Are Fascist Bastards. This creative act left the bank in an awkward position, prompting them to request that Michael Howard revert his name, close his account, and take his business elsewhere. It seems that having such an unconventional and outspoken customer proved to be too much for Yorkshire Bank to handle.
I like this guy's, the cut of this guy's jib.
Over a £10 disagreement.
Well, it's the old thing of, it's the principle, right?
Yeah.
He's one of these guys who fight for the principle. And I kind of get it. He's fighting for the principle of the matter, not so much as.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that necessarily, but I get it. He was angry at the bank. I'm sure there's more, obviously we're giving the headlines of the stories here, but I suspect there was some sort of.
Maybe a pattern or behavior. Maybe
the bank could have just been very mean to him or like, didn't want to hear any of his pleas or what. It's like, come on, you guys, what are you doing to me type thing? He's like, fine, I'm changing my name. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're a difficult customer. So it is one of those things where he became such a difficult customer. They probably waived the fee and just said, please just leave our bank though. Take your business elsewhere while you're at it.
I wonder if he was forced to change his name back. Probably not.
Yeah.
Because if he was allowed to change it legally.
You'd have to legally change it back, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, we got our first celebrity. If you caught a rerun, Jay, of the classic holiday cartoon Home Alone, you're obviously familiar with the film star Macaulay Culkin. The movie, of course, depicted Culkin's character defending his suburban Chicago home from burglars after being inadvertently left behind by his family during a vacation to Paris. And this movie, of course, has garnered a massive global fan base. The same can be said for the lead actor, Macaulay Culkin, which is nice to see in his later years. He's doing very well. He's healthy. I think he's married with kids and stuff and seems to be leading a healthy, happy life. I've got an interview that we're going to play that was going to talk to the story a little bit. So why don't I just play that interview right now? And this interview with on the Jimmy Fallon Show will explain his name change, which I don't think you knew happened.
No, this is interesting because I'm going into this blind.
Well, and I went into this blind too when we did our research for the show. This was news to me. I had no idea this happened. So this interview with Jimmy, I thought it was a joke at first, but it's not. And so this interview with Jimmy explains the setup, and then I'll give you the results of that setup after the interview.
You sell merch as well on the site.
Yeah, heck yeah.
I saw. And I picked up this shirt.
Yes, it's very popular seller.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I've seen a photo of you wearing this shirt.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when other people wear it. I mean, it's funny in its own right, but it's...
So for our listeners, Jimmy Fallon's holding up a shirt that says Macaulay Culkin, and it's an arrow pointing to the face, and so that's what he's referring to here.
Weird when I wear it. Kind of thing, because I've spent a lot of time trying not to call attention to myself. Yeah. And they're like, are you Macaulay Culkin? I'm like, no, that's not me. You know, and just, boom. Like, I'm pretty sure you are.
But you're doing this thing also on the website now. This is an actual thing you guys can participate in. You are actually going to legally change your middle name.
Yes. Okay, so I was, you know, staring at my passport recently and stuff, and I was looking over my middle name. My current middle name is Carson, you know, but you have to say it, Macaulay Carson Culkin. It's very Irish.
Oh, yes, Macaulay Carson Culkin.
Macaulay Carson Culkin. And I thought, like, you know, I should probably spruce up my name a little bit. So, yes, you can go into the bunnyears.com website and you can vote on my new middle name. We've narrowed it down to 5 options. I've been polling friends, family, like everything. And right.
Here are the 5. The first one, middle name, would be Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
So you'd be Macaulay.
Macaulay, Culkin. So if somebody comes up to me at the airport and says, excuse me, are you Macaulay Culkin? I go, well, Macaulay Culkin is my middle name.
I think that's great. Uh-huh. Second option you have is Shark Week.
Yeah. Shark Week. Yeah.
Macaulay Shark Week Culkin.
It's very seasonal, but you know, yeah.
Yeah. Do you enjoy Shark Week?
I've never seen it, so.
that's a good way to be named after. Yeah. This one might be my favorite. Macaulay Kieran Culkin.
Yes.
That's your brother.
My brother Kieran suggested Kieran. So I was like, oh, okay. He's obviously got good
actor.
Taste.
Yeah. Kieran Culkin. Yeah, I like Kieran. Yeah. This one is interesting. Macaulay the McRib is back Culkin.
Yep. Yep.
I might have to request one like that one. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. No. I mean, look, it is back. I mean,
it is back.
Yeah, talk about seasonal, but yes. So, yeah.
So instead of like the Mac is back, the McRib is back.
Yeah, the McRib is back.
And you just tried recently a McRib, and it's.
Yeah, I just tried one finally.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's a McRib. I mean, it's
tasty.
I mean, it's certainly back, you know.
All right, good. All right, that's good. I'll take that as an endorsement.
Yeah,
the last one is Macaulay Publicity Stunt Culkin.
Yes.
So that's just kind of calling out what the bit is. But no, yeah. I think it's...
And yeah, you're my legally, girlfriend suggested
are
that
Are you legally
one, yeah.
going to do this?
Yes, I am legally going to change my name. So seriously, go to bunnyears.com and vote on what my middle name is. Because
I
will
think?
Legally
I'm
change
I'm going to present
it.
My vote right now. It's either McRib or Macaulay Culkin. I'm going to take my vote right here. Yeah. Can we zoom in? Do you see it there? I'm going to go Macaulay Culkin.
You have
Culkin.
Good taste in names.
There we go.
Jay, do you know the results?
No, I had no idea this
okay,
ever
so
occurred.
This is real. It did happen. So after the contest was over, which one do you think he should have of those choices?
I'm going to guess the McRib is back.
Okay. So the one that won, drumroll please, was Macaulay Culkin. So his name now is officially Macaulay Culkin.
I liked his explanation, though. That is my middle
name. That is my real name. So I thought it was a fun little clip. And like I said, it's good to see Macaulay Culkin having some fun with himself. And he changed his name legally. That's all she wrote. So his name is now officially Macaulay Culkin. Okay. All right, Jay, you got the next one.
Yeah, right on. You might be familiar with the wrestler known as the Ultimate Warrior. Ryan, you know him. Well,
yeah, I'll tell a quick story here. So I had the honor and the privilege to meet the Ultimate Warrior back in 1990. At this age, I was 15. I had stopped watching wrestling at this time. I think most people can agree that the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s of wrestling was kind of the dark years before the Attitude Era kicked in later in the 90s. And I had stopped watching wrestling, but I was at an airport in Atlanta, Georgia, flying from Florida to Georgia, and then Georgia to Seattle, and then Seattle to Canada. I was with my friends on their family vacation. They had an extra plane ticket, long story short, to go to Disney World, and I went with them. So we're in the Atlanta, Georgia airport for our layover, and I saw this big hulking guy with his hair in a ponytail sitting down in the lobby, you know, 10 feet away from me, whatever. I saw a couple of people going up to him. And he kind of, you know, waved them away. He kind of seemed like, yeah, please don't bother me type motions. And I was like, who? Oh, he must be a football player. You know, he must be like, he's a big dude with hair, ponytail. It must be a Seattle Seahawk football player is what I thought. Because he's going to Seattle, right? And then it dawned on me. I was like, whoa, you're the Ultimate Warrior. And he goes, yeah, shut up, kid. I'm like, ooh, geez, sorry, man. That was my meeting with the Ultimate Warrior. He told me to shut up in 1990 at the Atlanta, Georgia airport because I called him out. Because I didn't recognize him really with the hair pulled back and the ponytail, no makeup on. It took me a second to realize it was the Ultimate Warrior.
That's a great story.
Thank you. Thank you. So what did Mr. James Brian Helbig have to do with all this?
Yeah, so his name, he was born James Brian Helbig, a prominent figure in the wrestling scene during the Hulk Hogan era. At one point, Warrior took a step that, given his onstage persona, might not seem surprising at first. He legally changed his name to simply Warrior.
Did you know this before his death?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did, actually. Oh. Yeah, I'm a bit of a wrestling nerd. I follow the stories and stuff, but yeah, go on.
However, what makes his name change particularly peculiar is that Warrior's belligerent nature wasn't confined to the realm of professional wrestling, as you experienced, Ryan, yourself.
Yeah. Though my story holds true. This was not Ric Flair saying this to me, or even Hogan, or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat certainly would not have said that to some kid or fan. No, this was James Brian Helbig. He was a character.
In reality, he lived up to the name Warrior with a temperament matching his stage persona. Described as irritable, he displayed aggressiveness in various instances. For instance, he expressed controversial sentiments such as wishing manager Bobby Heenan to die of cancer, making insensitive remarks about Hurricane Katrina victims, and even celebrating the death of Heath Ledger. Oh.
Sorry. Okay.
That seemed random.
Oh, yeah. Well, on his social media accounts back in the day, these are things that he had done. Right. Yeah. Both Heath Ledger and, of course, Bobby the Brain has died. He's passed away.
How did he die? Was it cancer?
It might have been. Let me research that while you finish this.
Because maybe he was prophetic.
I don't know if you ever saw pictures of Bobby the Brain Heenan in his later years. It's hard to look at. He kind of looked like, Roger Ebert, how he looked?
Mm.
With his face all just... Yeah, because of the cancer and stuff. I think the same happened to Bobby the Brain, unfortunately. You don't recognize him at all. So he died at the age of 72. Yeah, he did die of throat cancer. That's why his throat and face looks a little messed up. Because, I think he had things removed from his throat and mouth and stuff. So they had to rebuild his jaw and everything around the infection.
Right.
So I think the same thing happened to Mr. Ebert, if I remember. Something to that effect. That's why their mouths were all weird and stuff. It's too bad. But yeah. Well, the cause of death was organ failure due to complications from the throat cancer. So Mr. Warrior got his wish.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's kind of a dark turn to the story.
Yeah, it was a good guy.
When a man who was supposed to embody a warrior persona on stage extends that demeanor to his real life, complete with a legal name change to match, the entire situation takes on a truly bizarre dimension.
Yeah. Well, for worst personality, we might have to go with Mr. Warrior, but rest in peace.
The name change sounds, seems legit.
Yeah, he embraced this, like Hulk Hogan, changing his name. You know, his name is Terry Bollea in real life, right. But that's still his legal name. But yeah, it's like Hogan changed his name to Hulkamaniac or something. Sure. All right, so next we've got back in 2008, there was a 19-year-old from Glastonbury, UK, decided to part ways with his birth name, and his birth name was George Garrett. All right, it's fine. Nothing wrong with that name. And embarked on a journey to create a moniker impossible to overlook. The result? Are you ready, Jay? Here it is. Captain Fantastic, faster than Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Wolverine, Hulk, and The Flash combined. This tongue-twisting title promptly inducted Captain Fantastic into an exclusive club of individuals with extraordinarily long names. While Captain Fantastic embraces his newfound identity with joy, it didn't come without its social repercussions. His grandmother, upon learning of the stunt, chose to cease communication with him. Nevertheless, the change catapulted him into the spotlight, earning him the distinction at the time of having the world's longest name. George, now Captain Fantastic, publicly shared that his motivation for the name change was a desire for uniqueness, opting for a theme inspired by superheroes. But the James Bond guy took that title from him, I think.
I would think so.
All right, so you got a couple of film and comic nerds taking their names to another level. Captain Fantastic, though, that's not bad. I think I'd rather be known as Captain Fantastic than Knipple.
I need to see a picture of George. I mean, Captain Fantastic, just to visualize. Like? Yeah, it's the congruency of the name to the individual.
Let me see. And there's a picture right here, and not quite what I thought. He looks like your typical teenager.
All right.
What do you got for the next one?
In a legal maneuver, Justin Brady from La Cruces, New Mexico, found himself in court seeking an unusual change of name. The motivation behind this request stemmed from a breakdown in the relationship with his adoptive parents, who shared the same surname, Brady. Amidst this challenging situation, Justin opted for a name that resonated with the identity his friends had bestowed upon him, Bubba. Initially considering the name, why not Bubba, for its playful essence, he ultimately decided it was tad too lengthy. Opting for brevity, he settled on why not, Y-N-O-T, a condensed version of his initial choice. With filling out the required applications, Justin successfully navigated the legal process and officially became Why Not Bubba.
That's not bad. I could probably live with that one. Now, it's funny, though. My nickname, as you remember, in junior high and high school, was Bubby, B-U-B-B-Y. And some people actually called me Bubba from the Bubby nickname. So I almost had this name legit. I mean, for years, people in school would just call me Bubby. And that was my name. They didn't call me Ryan. In fact, I would say the majority, especially the guys, the majority of all the guys called me Bubby. That was my school name from grade 7 to 12. So legit, I did have the Bubby name. Yeah, had my name been legally changed at that time, let's just say, I probably would have been okay with it. I'd be like, why not Bubby? But I don't feel that way now. But, you know, as a young lad, sure. Because I identified with that nickname so much. So when I saw this is in our research, I was like, hey, that was my nickname almost. And like I said, some people did call me Bubba. They call me Bubba Tush and stuff. It's all over the place. But anyways.
What's interesting how a couple of these people are changing their names. Some are for fandom. Mm-hmm. And then others are for kind of a resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again,
banker, this guy.
So we could argue what is the worst choice for doing this and what's the worst.
Yeah, I'm just just in a general, you know, it's interesting that people do it out of spite, I guess is the word, towards, you know, making a statement or.
Next one, Jay, number two, my last one, is definitely fandom. Now, we've all heard Madonna, again, not her given name. The iconic American singer hailed as the Queen of Pop has enjoyed an enduring presence in the music and entertainment industry since the early 80s. Over the decades, her popularity has transformed into a cultural icon, inspiring countless fans to express their admiration in unique ways. So in 2009, a trio of devoted fans from the UK took their fandom to the next level, Jason, by legally changing their names to pay homage to the music legend. Leanna Dawson, again, good name. Well, she changed her name to Leanna Madonna Vogue on the cover of a magazine, Mikhail Dawson. While Emma Dawson, I guess that's probably her sister, opted for Emma Confessions of a Dance Floor, Mikhail Dawson. And then joining the honorary name trend, friend Gemma Mitchell became Gemma True Blue Strike a Pose Carol Mikhail Dawson, Mimi Mitchell. There you go. So I think Mimi is a nickname for Madonna. These lifelong fans not only attended Madonna's shows regularly, but have also amassed every album and DVD she's ever produced. However, Jason, despite their unwavering dedication, the trio, unfortunately, have as yet to meet Madonna in person since adopting their unique names. Oof. They changed their names to Madonna-centric names. That is a fandom.
I don't know. Of all the people, especially in the last, you know, 10 years of Madonna's life, it's been a bit of a...
Nothing sexier than a 65-year-old woman gyrating on a stage, I'll tell you that much.
It is sad because she does
so
have a
beautiful
great,
and amazing, and she has a wonderful
And she has a wonderful voice.
Yeah.
She is very talented singing.
She's a good singer, and she was a great performer.
Good entertainer.
She was definitely a pioneer for many young artists today.
Yeah.
Just too bad they can't say that I was that thing for people today who I've inspired and they've inspired.
But she still could be. She could deliver herself in a different in a different way rather than carrying on what you did when you were 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you could mature into I am now an older living legacy.
Yeah, like from
rather
Stevie
than
Nicks
rehash
to,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Wilson,
rather than rehash. Right.
I think it's partly because she was such a sexual icon. I get it. And again, Yeah, from anywhere from her age to 18 to 45, even 50, she was stunning. And now she's just last 15 years, she's just botched her face up so badly with plastic surgery. It's just heartbreaking that she couldn't just like, if you go back and look at her like Ray of Light days and her, even when she's like 50, 52, like we're talking, it's only been the last 10 years. There was that part right where she's like 50, she was an attractive, like older looking, mature woman. And she really embraced the look. She looked great. And then the last 10 years, she's just destroyed herself. In my opinion, I'm sorry to these lifelong fans who changed their names. It was around this time, actually, in 2009, when she looked fantastic. I'll show you a picture, Jay, of what Madonna looked like at the time that these gals changed their names. So this is what Madonna used to look like in 2009. She was a beautiful, of course, she got a little bit of work done, you know, filler, but she still looked like Madonna, and she didn't look like an alien anymore, like she does now, I should say.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, right here. She was pretty, wasn't she?
Yeah, very pretty.
Donna, 2009 Oscars. I mean, look at that. She's gorgeous. 15 years ago, so she would have been about 50 here. Yeah, it's heartbreaking that if she just didn't allow herself to get the wrinkles and age naturally, it's okay. And we all got to get older. I understand that. But it's just unfortunate that she's decided and or was scared of aging to the point where now she looks, she doesn't even look like, if I were to show somebody these two photos of what she looks like now and then, you wouldn't think it was the same woman. But if you got someone like Helen Mirren, right, in the last 15 years, she still looks like Helen Mirren. Like, it's okay to get older and still look pretty.
Luther Devine Knox, a Winnsboro farmer with a keen interest in politics, left a notable mark on the 1979 Louisiana gubernatorial election and subsequent contests. One of Knox's distinctive proposals was advocating for the inclusion of a none-of-the-above option on the ballot, providing voters with a choice if none of the candidates resonated with them. His motive was to prevent the election of potentially incompetent candidates simply due to a lack of alternatives. Knox firmly believed that if a majority chose none of the above, it should trigger a redo of the election until a suitable candidate emerged. However, his unconventional stance faced significant resistance from government officials across various levels. Many attribute Knox's perpetual candidacy with no substantial victories in the Louisiana gubernatorial election to this particular position of his. When traditional methods failed to advance his cause, Knox resorted to an unconventional tactic. He legally changed his name to None of the Above, a symbolic gesture that encapsulated his unwavering commitment to providing voters with a genuine choice in elections. This is what I was talking about. It's interesting how people kind of out of spite change their names. I get the fandom ones, but the out of spite ones I find fascinating that people would go to those lengths. Sure. Kind of make a statement.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. Yeah, am I terrible? Because I don't care about anything enough to change my name, you know?
No.
Does that make me bad that I don't feel passionate enough about anything to change my name to make my point? There you go, folks. Those are the 10 name changes. So, Jason, out of those 10, which one do you think is the worst name change? I.e., which one would you not want to have the most? And, like, I don't want any of them, of course, but if you had to have 9 of them, or randomly 9 of them would be picked for you, which one would you not want to have?
It's got to be the James Bond one.
Yeah, you're right. It's the most ridiculous. You can't handle that one. The other ones seem to be, you're all stupid.
Yeah, it is silly. But then that cheeseburger one is kind of...
Actually, I would love to be Bacon Double Cheeseburger. That one's okay. I don't know. That one's all right. Some of them are okay, but they're all ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if I really had to have one of them, like let's say you had to have one, I'd go with Why Not Bubba. It's so close to what I used to have anyways. I could ease into that one the easiest. People are like, why did you change your name? Well, why not Bubba? You know, I could say that.
You can literally like ask them back.
Yeah, why not Bubba? This is exactly what I was called in high school forever. So why not? Yeah, so the James Bond, I agree. But Jay, do you have a new pick for what you think is the worst reason to do the change? For example, I get fandom. Like, I understand it.
Yeah.
So fandoms, I understand why, as a fan, you do something, even though the name is ridiculous. But as a fan of something, sure, fans do crazy things with fandoms. Like, I think the worst reason to do the name change would be the bank guy for £10 overdraft. Dude, just pay it or leave. That's a lot of work. To me, it would be easier just to pay the overdraft. I would assume changing your name legally probably costs money too. So the fact that he took the time and energy to change his name to the Yorkshire Bank are fascist bastards, I suspect that costs money and time, or time and money. You might as well just take the overdraft hit.
And it seems a little over the top. The fascist bastards.
It's the most Karen-ish one. I think that's
yes. That bugs me too. Yeah.
It's the most Karen.
I was thinking the same word. Yeah. Yeah.
The other ones are fandom, sure, and I get the Ultimate War changed his name to what he was known for. So other ones can be either understandable or silly or dumb or fandoms, but his was the most spiteful, and it seemed to be the most work for the...
Like, petty. It's really petty. Yeah.
Very petty for just pay the overcharge. Okay. That was a fun episode, Jay. I enjoyed that one. A little bit light, a little bit fun. That was, of course, the most bizarre name changes that we could come across. Let us know if we missed any, like I Am Spam was a good one that we did miss. Or I Love Spam.
I'm sure there's lots. I'm sure there's lots.
But there, of course, there's lots. Let us know if we missed any. Send us an email, or at the very least, rate us on your favorite podcast that you listen to us. Give us a rating. We do appreciate it. Or a like on YouTube. It helps bump our videos up a little bit on those algorithms. Remember, in front of every silver lining, there's a cloud. And today, I think we are agreement on both. It was the James Bond name change, and for the worst name to have, and then the worst reason to have the name change was the disgruntled customer at the bank.